Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time, and welcome back to all you regular listeners. I am so thankful that you are here. I continue to pray for all of you, the new folks, as well as ones who have been listening for these 800 and, let's see, what would this be? 38 episodes, maybe 39. There's a lot of them. And all this may be 839. But I continue to pray that the Lord would just draw you closer to Him and give you a desire to know Him, that you would be changed by His Word, that you will be intentional and deliberate about desiring to spend time with Him. It makes all the difference, friend, and no time spent with Him or thinking about Him is ever wasted. No time either, how short or how long. And so I just want to encourage you, find time throughout the day to think about Him and His Word and to desire to know the things of Him. Please consider sharing this podcast with anyone else who you think may receive a blessing from it, and know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me an email sometime. You can find my email down in the show notes. It's awordforthisday@gmail.com. Well, our verse for the day for April the 18th, 2024 comes from the letter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And it's in the middle of a sentence, but we will get the background. It reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, friends, this is a big one. Of course, you know I love all the words and all the verses, but I'm excited for us to park here and see what the Apostle Paul was referring to, and may we be encouraged by these words today and spurred on to look to the things that are eternal. Because this earth, the things of this earth are passing away. Time is, and life is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. But the things of God are forever. And so I'm just excited for us to think about that. Well, this letter of 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. And we know that because in the opening of this, if I could get my page turned this morning, we read that Paul opens this letter in this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul opens this up very similarly to the way that he opens his all of his 13 letters. He has 12 others that we have in the New Testament. He tells us who is writing, and in this case reminds us that he is an apostle of Christ by the will of God. That apostleship, it means that he was appointed to be a messenger. He was a messenger of the good news of the gospel. That gospel, that word, means good news, and it is good news that even though we are all sinners, while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent Jesus to this world on a mission, and that mission was to make a way for us sinners, all of us being sinners, to have a way to be for our relationship with God the Father to be reconciled, to be made right, to be healed. And God sent Jesus. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Paul was called to be that messenger, one of those messengers to tell that good news. And it was truly by God's will. Paul was a Pharisee when he was called. He was a very zealous Jew, And he did not at first believe this good news about Jesus. He and many of the other Pharisees that thought that Jesus was a blasphemer, and they thought that those who followed him were likewise blasphemers. They did not realize that he was this long-awaited Messiah, the one of which all the law and the prophets that they were supposed to know about had been pointing to. And when Jesus would say that he and the Father were one, and that he was God's Son, and that God had sent him, and what he was doing was not of his own initiative, but was from God the Father, the Pharisees did not like that. They couldn't stand it. But God was so gracious, just as he is to us. And he met Paul on that Damascus road. Paul was on his way to continue to persecute believers. And Jesus graciously met him. And it was the resurrected Lord Jesus. You know, the other apostles that we have that we hear about in the New Testament, in the Gospels, were ones that Jesus chose from his disciples and appointed them to be apostles. But Paul didn't meet Jesus till after Jesus was resurrected. And we read about that in Acts chapters 9, 22 and 26, about Paul's, the story of Paul being on the Damascus Road headed to persecute Christians. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Saul," which was his other name, "why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." And later, Paul was told what he was going to do, and he did that with all his heart. And he went away after his conversion to Arabia for about 3 years. We read that in Galatians. And then he came back and started on his missionary journeys. And as I've told you before, on one of these missionary journeys, he went to Corinth. And Corinth was a city that was a very worldly city. It was a center of trade. There were lots of different religions, lots of pagan worship, and just all kinds of idolatry. But Paul went there. We read about that in Acts chapter 18. And we see how he came to Corinth, and he stayed with a husband and wife team called, whose name were Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers. Paul was also a tent maker, and he was there for about 18 months. He first went to the synagogue, but then was run out of the synagogue, which is what often happened in the cities that he visited. But after that, he took the message to the Gentiles, and he spent so much time with them there. And then we read that he went away after about 18 months to Ephesus. But later he heard some reports from the church at Corinth and the believers at Corinth that there were divisions among them, that some of them had gone back to their old ways, going back to the way that the culture was, a lot of sexual immorality, things having to do with idols. And they had also sent him some questions. And so he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians to address the things that he had heard about their divisions among them, to encourage them to do what they were supposed to be doing, and to answer some of their questions. But later, after that, he heard that there were some false teachers who had come in and were not telling the truth about the gospel, and the way that they tried to spread their untruths, where they were discrediting Paul's apostleship. And this really concerned Paul, because he had spent, I think it concerned him more, not that they were discrediting him as an apostle, but that they didn't believe the truth of the gospel. And he went back and visited them, but he didn't have a good visit, and he described that as a painful visit. It troubled him so that he went away, and then he wrote them back a letter called the Severe Letter. And it troubled him so, because he knew if they were believing this false gospel, that is a matter of life and death. it wasn't just his feelings were hurt and his that people were maligning his name. I mean, that's what happened to Jesus. That's not what I think hurt him so much. He truly cared about these people that he had spent these 18 months with. And so he sent him back this severe letter and then waited to hear. And I believe it was Titus that brought him back a message that when the many of the believers had read this severe letter, that they turned back to the right way. And so he wrote this letter of 2 Corinthians in response to that. And he defends his apostleship once more. And we see him describe the difference between, kind of throughout this letter, between true apostles and false apostles, so that the people would be able to know. We see him encouraging the believers at Corinth to continue the work that they had started. They had started to gather an offering to send to the believers who were being who were working and being persecuted in Jerusalem. And so that had kind of fallen by the wayside. And so he was encouraging them about that. And then it's just a general letter of encouragement throughout, but it's a very personal letter throughout as well. And so Paul reminds them in chapter 3 that he has been called as a minister of this new covenant. He defends his apostleship and then reminds them that, you know, he didn't come in ease or in, you know, things weren't easy for him. It has been a struggle all along. And he even talked about that in the very opening about the afflictions that they had, that he had, and that when we read here, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ abound to us, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, or whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is working in your perseverance in the same sufferings which we also suffer." He was saying, you know, we go through difficulties for a purpose, so that we can comfort. We are afflicted so that we can comfort others with the comfort that Jesus has given us. And there's this theme that runs through throughout this letter that, you know, the walk of a true believer is not easy. There will be difficulties. There will be afflictions. And he lists some of those here in this letter. But it's because Christ suffered for us. And we suffer in that way sometimes. Sometimes we suffer because of our sin. Sometimes we suffer because it's collateral, for lack of a better way to explain it, collateral damage of other people's sin. Sometimes we suffer so other people can see our walk. So it's a testimony of the goodness and the graciousness and the mercy and the comfort of God. Sometimes we suffer like Job because there are things that are going on in the heavenly places that we have no idea about. But it's all in accordance with God's will and for his glory. But Paul spent a great deal of time throughout showing the difference between those false apostles and a true apostle. The true apostles would have difficulty in this world because Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." But Paul was so convinced of the truth of this gospel that he would go through whatever it took to spread that truth. And oh, friends, may we be that same way. May that be our same goal. But I want to pick up here in chapter 4, reading up to our verse for the day, so you can see what Paul was saying. Even though they had been through difficulties, Timothy was with him when he wrote this letter, but He was convinced that he was there to give them the good news and to remind them about this good news. And so I'm going to pick this up and we'll read forward to our verse for the day. And let me just back up and say, right before we get to this chapter 4, remember, Paul was showing the difference in this letter of what a true apostle looks like and what those false apostles were looking like. And the false apostles, they liked all the people to think highly of them, to lift them up. They wanted these letters of recommendation and all that sort of stuff, because in that day, people would come with letters to say this person has the authority to speak in this way, or this person has the authority to do this, that, or the other. And at the beginning of 3, Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need some letters of commendation to you or from you? And he reminds them, no, you Corinthians are our letter. You saw how the Holy Spirit came and changed your life and changed your heart. So you don't need a letter. You have experienced the truth. You've experienced it. Don't forget what you've experienced. And then in this chapter 4, he opens up and says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He is showing by explaining the way that they are doing things, the difference between a true apostle and a false apostle, because those false apostles will walk in craftiness and they will twist that word of God to get it to suit their desires, and they won't always go with the truth. They'll do a little bit of the truth, but then they'll put their spin on it. And so that's one of the ways that we can tell the difference. Friends, we can't tell the difference if we don't know the truth of God's word. So we must have that gold standard that we've hidden in our hearts and minds, so that when something is just a little off, we'll say, oh yeah, that's not right. And so Paul says in verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what Satan does. He's the little g god of this age who blinds and deceives, and so people can't understand. And then Paul says in verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Jesus. For God who said, God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel, and that's the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. In every way afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We die to self, we die to our world, so that His life is shown through us. That's much like what we talked about yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago. No, it was yesterday, about His love being perfected in us. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. We've talked about that the last 2 days in our 2 verses. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, because of all of these things, because of what God's doing in their lives and in our lives, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is working out for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. And here's our verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, there are certain truths. Well, all of God's word is truth, but there are certain kind of, these are the things that work in God's way of doing things. One of those is that you will reap what you sow. One is that God is always faithful. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than ours. His wisdom is much higher than the world. And this is another one. The things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that is so important. Paul was giving an encouragement here. He's saying, you know, the difficulties we're walking through, the difficulties you're walking through are temporary things. And it's just like Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. We talked about that earlier. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. James said, you know, he was reminding us that this life is but a mist, but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. This life is short in the span of eternity. These difficulties, these challenges that we will walk through for the believers, these are temporary. But there are so much bigger eternal things going on. And those are the things that matter. That's what Jesus had said in Matthew when he was teaching on the Sermon of the Mount, or the Sermon on the Mount, said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. The things that we see with our earthly eyes are temporary, but the things of God are eternal, because God is eternal. He is not bound by time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are forever and ever. And you know, all of us have souls as well. We're made in His image. And our souls, ourselves are going to wind up somewhere for eternity. We're either going to be in heaven with Him, with life and peace and joy and light, and with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or we're going to be eternally separated from Him, with torment and darkness and gnashing of teeth. It's one of two places. There's not in the middle. And so this was an encouragement. Paul had said just to the verses before, there may be difficulties. You know, we may be afflicted, perplexed, crushed, but we're not in despair. We don't lose heart, even though this body, this shell, this corruptible shell is wasting away. There is something that is going to mean so much more, and it's going to be eternal. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's an encouragement, because this is a fallen world. It's a dark world, but there is so much more for us who believe in Christ. And he goes on in 5 to talk about, you know, our earthly tent and how it's temporary. And even at the end of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, he talks about that time when we'll be caught up and be resurrected, and talks about that corruptible body is going to be put away, and we're going to have that incorruptible and that immortal body. And so I'm thankful. And this is why we walk by faith, not by sight. So in the things that our earthly eyes see don't make sense and are troubling and all those things, we go back to what we know is true through the eyes of faith. Then we trust the Lord. We trust His word. We trust His faithfulness. We trust the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we believe it has always ever been about faith. So be encouraged. Even though things are dark and difficult in this world, God is ever faithful. His promises are true. And I am so thankful for that. Give Him the thanks and praise for that. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.